Let's just take a moment to open in prayer. Our Father, we would quiet ourselves in Thy presence just for another moment at the close of another day and thank Thee, Lord, for all Thy goodness to us today, for speaking to our hearts from this morning's meeting right through the meetings, and for a good word in the gospel. We pray, Lord, that which we have just listened to might still speak to hearts. Even those of us that are saved, may we never, never get far away from Calvary. Thank Thee for all that the Lord Jesus went through when He bare our sins in His own body on the tree. For every one of us in this gathering tonight that are saved, we bow again to thank Thee for God's great salvation. And Lord, for any here that are not saved, we pray that even tonight they might know the very blessing of God in knowing their sins forgiven through the One who bore their burden alone at Calvary. We thank Thee for the great message of the gospel we have listened to. And now, Lord, as we look at Thy Word for a few moments together, bless it to us, we pray. Speak to our hearts as we give thanks again for the Lord Jesus and ask for help in His name. Amen. I'm going to read in the Gospel of John, chapter 11. John's Gospel, chapter 11. And we'll begin reading at verse number 1, a very familiar passage, I'm sure, to all that read their Bible. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. How would you like to have a town named after you? The town of Mary and Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom Thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When He heard, therefore, that he was sick, He abode 2 days still in the same place where He was. Now, that's a little bit complicated, but I'm going to read it the way it is literally. See the therefore, that's 4 or 5 words in? Put that at the beginning of the verse, and you'll understand it better. Therefore, when he heard that he was sick, he abode 2 days still. So he did it on purpose. Verse 7. Then, after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. After what? After 2 days. Well, if you read the whole story, you'll find it was after 2 days that he died. So, just so you can follow what's going on here, lest you think the Lord Jesus didn't know, or if there's any doubt in your mind, because there was in Mary's and in Martha's, lest there be any doubt in your mind that he did not know what was going on, he knew exactly what was going on. He knew Lazarus was sick before he got the telegram, or however he got word. He was 100 miles away. If you know any of the Bible geography, he was up north, up where John at first baptized. Look at the end of chapter 10. That's where Jesus was. They were down in Bethany. That's way down south. 100 miles difference. They got word to him that Lazarus was sick. And he waited purposely for 2 days till he died.
But yet he had just said, this sickness is not unto death. And yet he waited for him to die. Again, you need to understand the English here. This sickness will not end in death. That's not the end of it, is what he was saying. There's more to it than this. Okay, so he was in perfect control of the situation all along, even though they didn't know that. Okay, let's keep going. His disciples, verse 8, say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? You get that? He's going back to Judea, where they're going to kill him? Yes. In fact, this is his last trip. In fact, he's going there purposely so that they will put him to death. Okay? He knows exactly what's going on. Jesus answered, verse 9, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If a man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he. And after he said unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. His disciples said unto him, and you know the story. So he said, verse 14, Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Down the chapter. Verse 18. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary from Jerusalem to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. What was she saying? Why didn't you come? If only you listened. If only you came when I called. That's what she's saying. And then almost to cover it up, but I know even now, whatsoever thou ask of God, God will give it thee. But she didn't think, really, that he was going to ask anything of God. Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister, secretly saying, The Master is come, and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Mary met him. The Jews then, that were with her in the house, comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Guess what? Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. I wonder where she got that. Isn't that the same thing that Martha said? Makes you wonder if they weren't talking about this in the house before the Lord came, doesn't it? that really these two sisters had said, why didn't he come? That's why Lazarus died. Want me to go even further? It's his fault. It's his fault. Verse 33. I went too far here. Verse 31. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, comforted her. I read that. Verse 32. When Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Well, you already knew that, right? That he loved them. How do we know that he loved them? Look back at verse 5. He said he loved them. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. It was a fact. Everybody knew it. He loved them. He told them that. That was a known fact. And some of them said, verse 37, could not this man, here it is again, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? It's his fault. Why didn't he do something? They sent the telegram, they sent the message. Why didn't he come? Let's read a little further. For time, let's go to 46. But some of the... Oh, I can't jump in there. Verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. And you know the rest of the story. They counseled together to put him and Lazarus to death. Okay, I kind of ad-libbed as I went along, so you know where I'm going with this. I'm not going to be very long. You've been very good today. You sat through a long day. And it was very quiet for such a big audience. You've done well. But I just want to look at this because there's a breakdown that took place here somewhere. You know Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They're outstanding Christians. If you read through the Gospel of John, they are outstanding Christians. The Lord loved to go to Bethany. He loved them. He loved to go to their house. It was one of the few places that the Lord Jesus had on this earth when he was here in his 3.5 years of ministry where he felt at home. Not too many places that the Lord Jesus could go and they would make a supper for him and he could, pardon me, but he could relax there. He was among friends there. He loved them and they loved him. And it was a place where the Lord Jesus liked to go. He loved them. But now something tragic has come in as far as the two sisters are concerned. And there's kind of a rift now. The Lord Jesus didn't quite do what they thought he should do and they're blaming him. Oh, they wouldn't actually go that far, but they both said, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. They knew that. Why did we send you a message? Did you get the message? Yes. I deliberately waited. Now, he didn't tell them that, but they could have got that information because the disciples knew he deliberately waited. He waited till he died. Then he came. And then to come, he had to walk 100 miles. That takes 4 days. They would walk about 25 miles a day. And it took just 4 days. Because he left on the second day. That was the day Lazarus died. And now, we didn't read the whole account, but remember when he went to the tomb, the sister said, No, Lord, you can't open the tomb. He's been in there 4 days. He's gone to corruption. His body stinks. Can't open the tomb. So he deliberately waited so that this man would be in the tomb 4 days. So that there was no question. Everybody knew he was dead. So why the breakdown here? Why are these girls like they are? Do you ever get that way? When God doesn't do what we ask Him to do? Did you ever ask the Lord to do anything for you? Did you ever plead with Him to do something? Come on. Did you ever make a bargain with Him? Don't tell me I'm the only one that's tried that trick. Lord, if you just do this, then I'll do this, and I'll be this. Did you ever do that? And He didn't do it. So what happens? We were hearing today from our brother Parks that the Lord Jesus prayed for Peter that his faith would not fail. Does faith fail? What do you call it? Now, wait, let me straighten something out here. We can never, if you are saved, you can never lose your salvation. I'm not talking about faith failing so that you lose faith in God and you lost your soul and you lost your salvation. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a Christian, a believer, who loses confidence in God, whose faith fails. Does that happen? It does. I'm talking about a believer that turns on the Lord and says, "It's your fault. You didn't do what I said." Because that's what they're doing. Now, they're not as blatant as that, but what else can it mean? Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And sister number two comes running up, and Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother had not died. Then the Jews gather around and they said, why didn't this man come? He could make men, blind men see, lame men walk. Couldn't he prohibit this man from dying? Why didn't he come? And down goes their faith. What do you know about Mary? Yeah, she's the one that anointed the Lord Jesus. We read that. What else do you know about Mary? Chapter 10, what do you know about Mary? Mary's the one that sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus, engrossed in Him, while Martha was bustling around the kitchen or whatever she was doing, and saying, Lord, tell my sister to help me. And the Lord Jesus said, No. She's fine right at my feet. Leave her alone. She's fine. Where's Mary now? The Lord has come, and Mary stays in the house. You see, I think something's come in here. Our faith does ebb and flow. You have heard from Matthew chapter 14 today. You know what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 14 to the disciples on the boat? When they were afraid and the boat was going down, and to Peter as Peter was sinking in the waves, he began to sink, we heard. And he cried out, Lord, save me! The Lord said, O ye of little faith. What happened to their faith? Just kind of shriveled up because of a storm. They didn't expect the storm. The Lord told them to go to the other side. Why a storm? And their faith failed. Shriveled right up. It does happen. And then we read of people like Abraham, and he was strong in faith. Well, if you can have little faith, or you can be strong in faith, and we read of people being weak in faith. So faith ebbs and flows. It can be strong, it can be weak, it can be great. There are people, the Lord Jesus spoke about a man, he said, I have not seen not such great faith. No, not in all Israel. And yet he talks about disciples with little faith. Then he talks about people, he said, you don't even have as much faith as a grain of mustard seed. Why does our faith do that? Why is it our confidence in God ebbs and flows? What makes this happen to us? You can be at a conference singing like you're in heaven's choir. And everything is great. You're happy. You're glad you're a Christian. Life's never been so good. And come Tuesday, you could be denying the Lord. Why? I'm going to just outline three things and then I'm done. Because of circumstances. We are creatures that are captivated by circumstances. We get caught up in circumstances. We get caught up in our surroundings. We get caught up in my little world and what's happening and what I think should happen and how it should happen and what happens. And we almost drowned in our circumstances. Lazarus is sick. It's almost the end of the world to these sisters. Then Lazarus dies, and it is the end of the world. Because they sent for the Lord Jesus, and He just didn't come. And so you know what they're really thinking? Does He care? Does He care? Now, I'm hoping that some of you are smart enough to fit this into your circumstances. And I think you are. So I don't have to spell it out for you. Does He care? When all the circumstances are going wrong? When bad things happen to good people? Where is God? Where's the Lord when I need Him most? Ever been there? And you try to pray, and it's like the prayers don't even make it through the ceiling. It's hard to pray. And there's no answers. And you wait, and you wait, and it gets worse and worse. And your worst fears happen. And no Lord, He never shows up. But you see, these girls needed to remember something. Now Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He says that. So it can't be, in spite of the way they're interpreting the circumstances, it can't be that He doesn't love them. Because no matter what circumstances tell us and how we read the circumstances, the Word of God supersedes all circumstances. No circumstance can change the Word of God. So when it doesn't go the way you think it should go and you start to doubt, does He care? Does he? Can you think of any scripture that says he careth for you? Does he know? Does he love me? Can you think of any scripture that says, yes, he does love you? Like the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me? Or 1 John, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us? Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So when circumstances scream, he doesn't care and he doesn't love me, it's time for you to stand in faith on the Word of God. Because the Word of God says he does. And no matter what the circumstances say, they cannot change the Word of God. You see, God is bigger than circumstance. Far bigger than any circumstances that ever could be invented or put together by men. But then there's another thing that starts to play on this. I tease my wife about... She's hopeless. Don't ever tell her this. I hope she never sees this DVD or anything. But she's hopeless with a map. I mean, like, she can read a map, but she has one little rabbit trail on how to get to that store. And if it means going 6 miles here and then 8 miles over here and 12 miles to get back here, that's the way she knows. And if I try to cut across here, she said, where are you going? This is not the way to get there. You gotta... And if I don't go on her little rabbit trail, what are you doing? Let me drive. Wait. That's what we do with the Lord. I think that's what these girls were doing. They had a little rabbit trail on how they figured God should work. And what they wanted the Lord to do and when he should do it. And the timing, they had the whole thing figured out. This is the little trail he should walk on. And when he didn't do it their way, down they went. You ever been there? Not just circumstances, but now it's our preconceived ideas on how God should work for us. And when he doesn't do it the way we think he should, we throw up our hands. We lose faith. It happens. Sad to say, I got to tell you, it's happened to me. More times than I care to tell you about. And I think if you honestly looked in the mirror, it's happened to you. Don't tell me nobody here has never questioned why. Why me? Why this? Why now? I have, to my shame. You know why? Because I had it all planned out how God should work. But don't you forget this. God is bigger than our plans. One of my greatest pictures of God is found in these words. He made the stars also. And if that doesn't give you a picture of how big God is, by the way, he just made the stars also. Just like that. He's big. And here's little puny me telling him how to do it. I don't know how he made the stars. Also, billions just breathed them out of his mouth by the word of his mouth. And I'm going to tell him how to do it. And when he doesn't do what I tell him to do, Oh, I can't believe in him. Why didn't you come? Faith fails when God doesn't act the way we think he should. But there's another one. When God delays, we live in an instant thing. Now I'll tell on me. I told on my wife, so now I'll tell on me. Pulled up to Tim Hortons. And I said, what in the world is he doing at that? Doesn't he know that if he's ordering coffees for the whole office, he should go inside? My wife reaches over and passes me, cool it, man, cool it. You've been here 30 seconds. No, we've been here. No, you've only been here about 30 seconds. Cool. I want it now. Now! Lord, answer me now! Why the delay? It's been 5 minutes since I prayed. That's ridiculous, isn't it? But we are so used to instant everything. None of us want to wait. God's never in a hurry. Never speeds up his clock. It will all happen in his time. He knew exactly what he was doing. We need to learn to wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now that does mean wait on him in the sense of directing your prayers to him. But it also means have patience. Ye have need of patience. Because God is doing far more than what we know. I just want to show you this and I'm done because you're great listeners. You're too good. I wish you'd stop listening so good so I'd feel embarrassed up here. But you see, God was working on more than just Lazarus. They wanted the Lord to come for Lazarus. You see, the Lord had an announcement to make to the world. It had never been made before. He had a grand revelation of himself to make. And he was setting the stage so that people would never forget it. And to this day, I don't care if you're Catholic, if you're Anglican, if you're United, if you're Pentecostal, whatever church building you go into and listen to a funeral, you will hear these words read. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall never die. Do you know the world never heard that before? That was a revelation of the Lord Jesus that had never been known before. And he was setting the stage so that he would have the perfect place to announce the truth of who he was, the life and the resurrection, and so that people would never, ever forget it. Minutes later, he stands at the tomb of a man that had been dead 4 days and said, Lazarus, come forth. And everyone there saw it. He's the life. He's the resurrection. Oh, Martha says, yes, I know, Lord, at the last day, I know my brother shall rise again. But what she didn't know, that the resurrection and the life was standing right in front of her. See why he waited 4 days? 6 days in total. He was setting the stage. And their faith fails because the Lord Jesus didn't come when they said. It would have ruined the whole thing. He wouldn't have had the platform. The background wouldn't be set. Yes, he loved Lazarus. And he's going to raise him from the dead. Yes, he loved Mary and Martha. And he wants to strengthen them too. You see, last time he talked with Martha, She was puttering around, washing dishes and baking scones and whatever she was doing. But she wasn't running to the feet of the Lord Jesus, was she? So the Lord says, all right, I'll just touch her brother. And then I'll wait 6 days and watch Martha come to me. And she did. Do you know the Lord wants to draw you and me to Himself? He wants that more than anything. And He'll arrange the circumstances and allow the circumstances in our lives so that we come to Him. He brought Martha right where He wanted her, right at His feet. And now Mary's off pouting. And He says to Martha, go whisper in your sister's ear that the Master is come. And she does. So He draws Mary back too. He draws her right to Himself. See, He's working with Lazarus. He's working with Martha. He's working with Mary. He's got all these different irons in the fire. He's got the great announcement of who He is, the revelation of Christ as the resurrection and the life to the world to make. But there's others. There were those people from Jerusalem that would not believe on Him. Those Jews. And He knows, you know, they're friendly with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, so they'll be there too. And He arranges it so that all those people from Jerusalem come out to Bethany. And when they saw it, the Jews saw it. What happened there? They believe too. Wow. He was working with them. Oh, but there's something else. See, God is big. He's got a bigger picture in mind than you and I have. We just see this circumstance. Lazarus died. But the Lord is looking at Calvary. And the time had come for Him to go to the cross. So He arranges the circumstances. And there's men there at that graveside that run from that grave back into the city. And they say, listen, we just saw Jesus raise a man from the dead. That was the last straw. And those elders and chief priests got together and said, this is it! He's got to die. It was all part of His plan. And really, do you know what happened? The Lord Jesus, because He came to raise Lazarus from the dead, gave His life. That's what it cost Him. He was put to death. And this was the straw, you might say, that broke the camel's back. He knew exactly what He was doing. So next time you're wondering, what is God doing? Just bow your head and tell Him, Lord, I don't know all that You're doing, but I'm sure You do. And You're doing a lot more than my little mind can take in. Just give me the faith to accept it. And He will. Now I'm going to give you a little secret of how you get faith. And I'm done. I'll even close my Bible here. How do you get faith? I'll show you. I'm going to step out of that camera there for a minute. I'll show you how you get there. Don't even do that. Kind of work it out, right? Now I can. Is that how you get faith? I didn't want that on the DVD. Is that how you get faith? I really, 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 really believe. I'm going to try really, really hard. Is that how you get faith? Or do you work yourself up into some kind of frenzy until you're emotionally wrought? Is that how you get faith? No, God tells us how we get it. You know the verse too. It's found in Romans chapter 10. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
You know how you increase your faith? You read the Word of God. And the more you take in of the Word of God, the stronger your faith will get. It gets easier and easier to believe the more you read the believable book. That's what happens. It comes. Faith comes. It comes from God. God gives it to us as we read His Word, take in His Word. Faith comes. You put this book aside, and I can guarantee you, you will go down in faith. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we commit ourselves to Thee now for the night. Thank Thee for all Thy kindness to us today. And pray, Lord, that Thou will help us to allow Thee to be the God that Thou art, and to work in our lives in whatever way will bring the most honor and glory to Thyself. Help us to be submissive, Lord, to Your will, and to not have to know all the details of every circumstance of what Thou art doing, but to trust Thee. As we have trusted Thee with our souls, help us, Lord, to trust Thee with our lives. And bless every young person that's here tonight, we pray. Thank Thee for providing us with refreshments. We give thanks again for Thy goodness to us and for the food. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.